Lord Jesus, I pray that as Walter reads us these words and talks to us about them, that we would learn and grow from all we hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks for those who gave those testimonies. Those are a really good backdrop for what I'm going to say, actually. We'll start off with the reading, and I'll read it. It's Matthew 6, from verse 1 to 18. So if you want to open your Bibles, it is actually quite helpful to be looking at the passage. Matthew 6, verse 1 to 18. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Brilliant. Now, you will have noticed from that little game, the treasure box game, and from reading this, that there are three distinct sections or themes to this passage that we're looking at today. There's the giving theme, there's the prayer theme, and there's the fasting theme. Now, you may have noticed on the diary for today that the title is When, Not, and If. And if you thought that was a strange title for a talk, then I can now reveal what it means. In each of these sections, Jesus is warning against a certain type of behavior. Okay? Right at the start of the passage, he introduces us to the overarching message and all those three themes. So I'll read that part again. Chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Then for each of those themes, as we read through the passage, you might have remembered or noticed already, Jesus says, when you do something, when you give, when you fast, when you pray. When. Do not. That's where the not comes in. Do not do it like the hypocrites. Do not do it like the Gentiles. And then finally, but if you do it like this, if you do it in private, if you close the door, if you wash your face, then your heavenly Father will reward you. So let's get those back in our heads. When you give, not if you give, not if you pray, not if you fast, when, okay? Do not do it like these people, but do it like this. Do it in private, close the door, wash your face. Okay? That sounds like mum's instructions almost. Wash your face. Right. Now, last week, if any of you heard Debbie's wonderful talk from chapter 5, we heard about Jesus said, "You should let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and so glorify your Father who is in heaven." So it appears there's a certain type of good work that we do in public that gives God the glory. All right, from last week, there's a certain type of good work we can do that gives God the glory when we do it in public. But this week we see that there's a certain type of work, good work that we can do, but only when we do it in private will it give God the glory. When it is performed privately and in secret. So we've already seen a little bit about that today. And as we've seen in our starter activity, there's not much about celebrities nowadays that is kept private. In the world, the general rule is, if you've got it, flaunt it. Okay? If you've got a good body, if you've got lots of money, use those things. If you've got a beautiful face, use those things to promote yourself. I don't know if it's just me, but it seemed to me that in generations or years gone by, when you promoted yourself, it was a little bit frowned upon. It was seen as a lack of humility. But today, it doesn't seem to be frowned upon. It seems to be completely normal behavior that you promote yourself and you give yourself and you lift yourself up when you speak, even. So if we really wanted to, we could probably find out today what our favorite celebrity had for breakfast this morning. Because probably they've tweeted it somewhere or they've spoken about it somewhere. So I thought, let's compare the lives of certain celebrities with some of these themes that are in our passage. I thought it might be quite helpful because that puts it into context, doesn't it? For a lot of us, maybe we don't even realize it, but we are aspiring to those kinds of lives that celebrities lead. Okay, so remember there are three categories: giving, prayer, and fasting. So, we can find out how celebrities give and take often when their marriages break up or when their relationships break up. Suddenly you're aware of how much one of them has in their bank and how much the other one wants. Okay? There is a kind of account that rich kids from countries around the world can belong to. So it's rich kids. I've discovered there's even a group called Rich Kids in South Africa. And they are a kind of elite group that use social media, like Instagram as well, to promote all the things, to flaunt all the things that they have. So they will use those social media platforms to promote what clothing brands they have, what Rolex watches they might have, what clothes they have, and how much they can waste those things as well. But they've all been given to them, right? So those are all things that they've been given. Many celebrities, for the second theme, prayer, many celebrities are very public about what faith they belong to. Very often you hear about a famous celebrity converting to one faith or another. And it seems to me, I don't know about you, that a lot of people are converting to Buddhism these days. But anyway, they very often you hear about their habits as well. You hear about how often they meditate, how often they go to temple or whatever it is they go to. And then finally, we often... Now, I've used the theme of fasting because it says, wash your face, all right? And with celebrities, we are always hearing about what they've done physically. We can find out exactly what celebrities look like, from their smallest plastic surgery to their latest diet fads. And even if they overeat and splurge and, you know, overdo it, we hear about that as well. So did you know, and I just discovered this, that there is such a thing called ribcage flaunting, where people purposely wear crop tops so that they can show their rib cages. They show how thin they are and how defined their abdomens are by doing that. Ribcage flaunting. How about that? So, if you're like me, I find many of those quite shocking, those things. But you know, we live in a digital age. And a few days ago, I happened to see an interview by a person who's into cybersecurity. Excuse me. Who's a manager, you know, runs a company that deals with cybersecurity. And she said, if anyone has an Android mobile phone, if somebody was really determined to, they can track exactly where you go and what you do in your life. They can track everything that you do. And furthermore, if you live in London, we're all aware of this, almost every corner you turn, there's a CCTV camera taking photos of you and taking videos of you. But the strange thing is, many people don't mind this at all. Many people want to become celebrities, so on social media, they will say everything about their lives. They'll reveal everything about themselves. But if you're a Christian, and maybe if you're somebody who's a bit more conservative, you'll find this horrifying, this apparent invasion of privacy. But what is the answer to it? What do we have as Christians that is an answer to that amazing invasion of privacy that we find today? It is this. Do you want to know what it is? Debbie's already mentioned it. There's a place of intimacy that we can have with our loving Heavenly Father that nobody else can see. I'll say it again. There's a place of intimacy that we can have with our loving Heavenly Father that nobody else can see. Did you know that in the Old Testament, that word for father, and I want to just talk about that word father for a minute, that word for father, God, was not used more than about 15 times. But when Jesus came along, he used it all the time. We see it through the Gospels and throughout the New Testament. Father, our Heavenly Father. Jesus emphasizes God's fatherhood. Abba, Father, that was the Aramaic word for father. And you know, we've often heard that children use that word, Abba, Father, but people used it throughout into adulthood, and that's what they called their father, Abba, Father. It is also a respectful way of saying father. But you know what? He's not just our pal or our buddy. He's not maybe that picture that some of us have of our fathers as a boozy man on the sofa watching the football. Neither is he the old man in the sky. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, our Father who is in heaven. He is in heaven. Isaiah 6 says, he is high and lifted up. He is hallowed, which means he is sacred, he's divine, he's set apart. His name will be known in all the earth. Isn't that a wonderful celebrity father to have? Wouldn't you like to be a child of a father like that? So let's go through some of those themes. When we give to the poor in the name of Jesus, we give in secret. And I don't know if any of you have seen these videos where somebody gives a beggar on the street £100 and then they film what they do afterwards. You know, they see them do something and everyone says, wow, how kind-hearted are you? You know, how noble an act. But this beggar's life has just been invaded by cameras. I don't know how he feels or she feels about that. And if you do that, if you make a nice video of yourself giving and put it on YouTube and Facebook, Jesus says those nice comments that you get and those nice shares that you get, that will be your reward. But instead, what is the attitude of our hearts when we give? Hopefully it's because we feel the heart of our loving Heavenly Father towards the poor. Hopefully that is our motivation. And you know, when that's our motivation, it won't be relevant what anyone thinks, that anyone should see us give. Our awesome Heavenly Father has seen us, and He will reward us. Secondly, prayer. when we pray, and I was thinking about almost any time that we pray, whether we pray in private, on our own, in our bedrooms, or when we pray corporately. Maybe sometimes when we pray corporately, are we addressing somebody else? We're thinking of somebody else. We're almost saying something to somebody else. Maybe we're hoping they'll change their behavior when we pray. Or is it perhaps just a ritual for some of us? When we say the same things day in and day out, just before we go to bed, we pray for a good night's sleep. We pray for a good rest. We pray, you know, we thank God for our families and all that sort of thing. But it almost becomes slightly superstitious. Like if we don't pray those things, then we'll have a bad night's sleep, for example. Do we have our Father's heart in mind when we address Him? And do we expect to hear His gentle voice back in our hearts? Do you know, then Jesus tells the disciples about the Lord's Prayer. And He says, pray in this way. And that doesn't mean to us, pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. It means, use this as a pattern when you pray. It's like a framework for you to build on. And at the end, we'll be getting a very helpful resource that'll help us with our own devotional prayer times that are in your waiting in your bowls. And then the third and final thing, fasting. When you fast. In a world of golden McNugget arches and pizza temples, fasting is a very hard word. We generally are gluttons, I think, in our culture. If you think about all those cooking books that come out at every festival, every Christmas, you think about all those celebrity chefs and cooking and baking programs we see on TV. We worship food. So what exactly is fasting? Some of us maybe don't really know. Maybe we've just got this idea that it's one of those things that we should be doing, but what is it? In Scripture, fasting is simply a time of abstaining from food for the purpose of devoting oneself and one's time to God. Fasting is a means of drawing closer to God. And in my experience, you become very aware of your dependence on God when you're very hungry. But again, let's not mix up our motives for fasting either. Let's not make it a selfish thing. Sometimes we have this idea that we fast to get something from God. Or sometimes we think of fasting as a kind of dual opportunity. It'll get us to lose a bit of weight, we'll cleanse our systems at the same time as praying. No, we should make our motives pure. Fasting is to purify our hearts and to grow more sensitive to God and to hear His voice more clearly. And just to wrap it up, Jesus says in chapter 5, verse 17, that He hadn't come to do away with the law, what Debbie was preaching last week, that He hadn't come to do away with the law and the prophets and the Ten Commandments, but to fulfill them. How does He do that? And He said the same thing in chapter 5. How does He fulfill those Ten Commandments, those very kind of basic principles? Talks about them by talking about the motives of the heart. In chapter 5, it was about personal relationships. Dealing with inner anger before it leads to murder. Dealing with bitterness and your conscience before it leads to the law courts. Reconciling with people. Dealing with lust before it leads to adultery. Those are all the Ten Commandments. But it's dealing with your heart. It's cutting out. Even, you know, before you get to that point of doing those acts. And in the same way in this chapter, He's not doing away with generations and generations of spiritual worship, prayer, fasting, giving. Those are all parts of very foundational Christian worship. He's not doing away with them. But He's saying to those disciples, and He's saying to us today, look at them again. It is our Heavenly Father first and foremost in everything that we do. He is our motivation for doing what we do. Oswald Chambers, over a century ago, said, "My worth to God in public is what I am in private. My worth to God in public is what I am in private. Who are you when no one is looking?" Amen. And I'd like to pray. And if any of what I've said has kind of stirred a thought or helped you in some way, I'd like to pray that the Lord is increased in our hearts, that He fills our vision, that He gets bigger in our imaginations when we pray. And if you agree and relate to what I'm praying, why don't we just raise our hands? While I'm praying, just let's raise our hands. Let's reach out to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Heavenly Father, we repent that we have made you small in our minds. We repent that we care more about the opinions of those people around us, in our families, in our friendships, in our schools, and in our workplaces, than we care about your opinion. Please help us to make time and space for you in our busy lives. Help us to examine our hearts and our motives, so that our worship and our service of you in everything can be out of a pure intimacy with you, and not just out of habit or selfishness or an expectancy of praise from others. Lord, we love you. We want that love to nurture and to grow and to be more effective for you in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.